to some extent, it is about the building of the Brooklyn Bridge, but really what it's about is a remarkable woman. The story is percolating to the surface more and more, which makes me very happy. But I ran into a story many, many years ago, 15 to 20 years ago, I bet you now. And I said, boy, this story needs to be told. And it's about Emily Roebling, who is the wife of the gentleman who became the chief engineer. But she is now credited for finishing the Brooklyn Bridge. John A. Roebling, who is the architect, is an immigrant from Germany and built incredible bridges in Germany, came to America with hopes and dreams. He built a bridge over the Niagara Gorge, and it was miraculous that a steam locomotive could go across this suspension bridge. And so he became the guy who could traverse the East River. And as he and his war hero son, Washington Roebling, were scouting land, they're on the Fulton Ferry, and a ferry boat operator, drunk ferry boat operator, bangs into the Fulton Ferry, and he slips off, the old man slips off, this genius, and his foot gets crushed. And 10 days later, he dies of tetanus. Project is handed to his war hero son, who's fought in 7 battles in the Civil War. And they have to go down into caissons under the East River, which are pressurized. Nobody really understood. It was brand new technology. And they would come up very quickly, and they're trying to figure out why these men are getting sick and dying. And finally, Washington Roebling succumbs to the bends, and he's down for the count. And for the next 11 years of the project, only Emily Roebling is seen, his wife, is seen on the work site. Everything is in her hand. For a while, he couldn't see, he couldn't hear. He did finally sort of recover, I understand, physically from the bends, but it was said that he could only stand the sound of Emily's voice. So Emily was pretty much the only one who saw him. But what causes that? He's a decorated war hero. Like, was there PTSD involved? I mean, so we started to draw some conclusions here, and so I wrote a story about it, and I musicalized it. And it's based on truth, but of course it's still art, so we connect the dots our way.
Warmed up?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll do the Gaelic first. Then we'll do the little scene in the middle. Okay, and then on a blanket of fog. I've done the book and the lyrics, and Joseph Baker is the composer, my collaborator. And it's an eclectic score, and yet it is really kind of inspired by classical music of the era and beyond. It's sort of got an American classical kind of inspiration, Barber a little bit. And it's rooted in sort of the Irish immigrant groove.
Hey, O'Malley, aren't you supposed to be working up there?
I am working. Working at enjoying this view.
Get back to work, O'Malley. Break's not for another 15 minutes.
I can't hear ya.
I said, you're giving Ireland a bad name.
They're sort of the heart of the show, the immigrant energy from the get-go in this musical, and it stays right through. In the story, one of the main characters is Boss Tweed. And during the building of the Brooklyn Bridge, he is taken down by Thomas Nast, who is also a character in our play. The whole play is through the eyes of the character is Thomas Nast, who is a very famous political cartoonist. So the whole show is basically through his eyes, which gives us sort of a theatrical lens on everything we do.
Many faces of Tweed, so many faces indeed. It doesn't matter where you are, you could be near, you could be far. Just find this face in the crowd, this handsome face. face, oh so proud, and you will get what you need from one of the many, 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 many faces of Tweed.
This is the first time we've gotten the show in some way on its feet. I've done readings of it. This is what I would call a second draft of the show. And I did many, many drafts, first drafts, that I kept tweaking. Everything was done. We did readings of that version. And then I knew it needed more, and I stepped away for a little while, maybe about a year, and then came back at it with a whole new point of view. And that gave us this second draft. And we've continued to tweak, work on that, which we are here as well. But I feel like this is the one that deserves to be on its feet. I'm very proud of it.
Timing was right.
Timing was right. Yeah. Good, good, good. Mm-hmm. So I'm missing the ensemble, the solos are landing their little solos, right? Beautifully. I almost feel like they're topping this ensemble of five that's singing about them, right? Can we lay this out, get those words laid out? So I get every word, right? And it's that smile, it's through the teeth smile, that wry smile. Even in the singing, I'll hear it in the singing. One more time, let's go back and see if we can lay those words out, all right? Good.
You know, I'd like to build a better show, which I think we are. I mean, I'll learn about the show. And it may take me even seeing the performance. There's going to be a talk back, I think. And so I'm sure I'll get some input and reaction from audience that I need to rethink the clarity of the storytelling. And do certain things belong in the show? Certain ideas that were maybe years ago that I always loved, but maybe they don't belong in the show anymore, so you have to cut that stuff. Mainly, what are the relationships between these characters and how do they drive each other? That will be a big deal.
Because I'm inspired, you see, when I'm required to be in your vicinity. Wish there were more of me.
Good. Give me a paper. Just talk that lyric.
Talk it?
Just talk it.
The whole thing?
Yeah, just talk that whole lyric. Go.
Because I'm inspired, you see, when I'm required to be in your vicinity. Wish there were more of me.
Good. So spike the punch a little on wish there were me. Make that the punchline.
Wish there were more. If only there were lots of me, it would be awesome, right?
All right. Celebrate yourself. Here we go.
Because I'm inspired, you see, when I'm required to be in your vicinity. Wish there were more of me.
They're so quick. And I'm used to like doing a rehearsal and coming back the next day and basically have to remind everybody what we did. And after the first rehearsal, they were already better than we had left them because they had thought about it and whatever they did at home before the next rehearsal. Unbelievable. And it's been that way every day.
So do forgive my need to post. I've got the face you love the most.
But don't forget this face divine.
And all your mothers who like mine.
Together we
You know, people say you can't come home, that thing, and I'm in the back of my mind, it's like, oh yeah, that's right, you're not supposed to be able to come home. But this has been unbelievable. I'm emotional about it. If I talk about it, I might break down with joy. The people at ISU have been unbelievably supportive, excited, you know, trying to find this balance of let's help build a show, brand new work, and how does this make a better experience and better opportunity for our students. And that's what's happened here. It's just fantastic, the collaboration that they all share. It is so refreshing coming from New York where everybody's careers are on the line every moment, right? And here we are, and it's all about the play. It's all about the work. That's what it ought to be. It's a joy.
Faces indeed.
Good, you guys. Terrific. Now let's do it on its feet.
Yeah.
All right. Woo! Good work.
Wow.